from Vermont Public Radio, this is The Frequency. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Wednesday, May 20th.
Today on the podcast, demand for milk has crashed and dairy farmers are still waiting for financial help.
I don't mean to hurry you folks. I know you're doing good work and you're being deliberative, but you're going to be a lot longer doing this before we see some money.
First, today's headlines.
Anyone hoping for a weekend getaway to Montreal or Quebec City is going to have to wait a little while longer. The U.S.-Canada border will stay closed to non-essential travel until at least the middle of June. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says the continued closure will keep people in both countries safe during the pandemic. Commercial traffic is still flowing across the border, and essential employees, like healthcare workers, can still cross. Canada has confirmed nearly 80,000 cases of the virus to date. That's compared to 1.5 million in the U.S. Quebec is the epicenter of the pandemic in Canada, with far more cases and deaths than any other province. And most cases and deaths in the province have occurred around Montreal.
And Vermont has the lowest coronavirus growth rate in the U.S., but it's not zero. The health department reported 4 new cases yesterday. In all, 944 people have tested positive, 820 have recovered, and 54 people with the virus have died.
And Anna, I feel like I've read this before, but the mall development in downtown Burlington is facing more delays. After 2 years of setbacks, construction on the City Place project was supposed to start later this summer. But with a global pandemic forcing people to stay at home, it does not look like a great time to construct a multi-million dollar development featuring storefronts and office space and apartments. And that, in so many words, is what city consultant Jeff Glassberg told the Burlington City Council this week.
Certainly recovery of downtown retail businesses, as well as a picture of what the retail environment in general looks like going forward, may be some cause for concern.
Oh, and Glassberg also worried that the developers, the international firm Brookfield Properties, could have trouble getting financing for the project in this economy. So it looks like the giant pit in downtown Burlington may be with us a while longer.
And back in late February, Vermont's 650 dairy farmers were encouraged that milk prices were finally going up after 5 years of decline. Then, the coronavirus. Restaurants and schools closed, and demand for milk crashed, and farmers dumped their surplus milk as prices plummeted. As John Dillon reports, there's financial assistance in the works from the state and federal government, but it's not clear when dairy farmers will see the money.
I reached John Morin in the cab of his tractor on his farm in Holland, close to the Canadian border.
I'm doing fence right now. My manure's pretty much done, but you know, most people will tell you that they don't mind working 7 days a week, but the thing that we're not getting paid when you get up every morning and you know you're losing money, that gets old.
Morin's farm is relatively small. He milks 150 cows. But his co-op, Kansas-based Dairy Farmers of America, recently ordered all its member farms, large and small, to cut production 15%. That put another dent in Morin's already shaky finances.
For me, right now, it's like $16,000 a month that I'm going to be down.
Across the state in Sheldon, the Green Mountain Dairy Farm is at the opposite end of the size scale. Bill and Brian Rowell have about 900 milkers. They run a high-tech operation with a manure digester to make electricity and crop fields spread out over miles of Franklin County. But the Rowells are in the same financial predicament as Morin, just with bigger numbers. Bill Rowell explains that milk prices are set under a complex federal system that pays farmers for each 100 pounds of milk they sell.
If you look at our milk check, we're about $7 per hundredweight right now below where we were when this thing started. And that leaves us short for the month, about $170,000 for the month we're short in our milk check.
Rowell spoke last week at a virtual meeting of the Senate Agriculture Committee. The panel has drafted legislation that would set aside nearly $9 million for emergency assistance for dairy farmers. Rowell is a successful farmer and a frequent spokesman for the industry. He often cites farming's importance to the state, noting the $2.2 billion Vermont dairy farmers pump into the economy each year. But he sounded a bit desperate as he pleaded for lawmakers to throw dairy a lifeline soon.
I don't mean to hurry you folks. I know you're doing good work and you're being deliberative, but you're going to be a lot longer doing this before we see some money.
Essex Orleans Senator Bobby Starr chairs the Agriculture Committee. He says he's waiting for the Scott administration to support the bill or come up with its own plan to help dairy.
They keep dragging on us, and well, we aren't there yet. We don't know what we're going to do, and they won't give us any numbers. And our bill should be pretty well done by the end of this week.
Agriculture Secretary Anson Tebbets says the administration will include dairy in its economic relief package that will be released Wednesday. He says he looks forward to working with the legislature on the plan. Meanwhile, farmers are also waiting for the federal government to come through with a promised $2.9 billion aid package. It's designed to cover 85% of corona-related losses from early spring through mid-April, and 30% of losses from mid-April onward. But Diane Bothfeld, operations manager at the State Agriculture Agency, says it looks like the federal checks won't be mailed soon. She says the USDA held a webinar last week on the program, but officials did not give a firm timeline.
So this webinar was about how to get your name in and get started, not what the programs would pay, not when checks were expected, or any of those things. So that created some general frustration. There's some expectation that potentially in June, but when in June is a big question for the federal programs. There's no real specifics on when those would come out yet.
Bothfeld says milk prices are expected to fall even more in June. She says for a farm milking 50 cows, the decline could mean a $35,000 drop in monthly income.
Just gone. You don't have it anymore. So that's difficult. How would you budget? How would you budget if your salary went down $35,000 in a month's time?
That's even worse than Holland farmer John Morin now faces. But he says his $17,000 monthly loss has put him close to the edge and keeps him up at night. His bank has suspended loan payments for 3 months, and he says feed dealers are also extending credit terms. But Morin says that can't last. He says if things don't change, many small farms will fold by the end of the summer.
It's dire. It's, I go to bed at night and I'm always stressing about how am I going to pay my bills. And it's the worst I've seen it.
Compounding the stress, Morin says, is that it's hard to know when the crisis will be over and if or when milk prices will improve. The uncertainty, Morin says, is the hardest thing of all. For VPR News, I'm John Dillon.
Non-essential retail businesses are now allowed to reopen, and that means the dozens of craft brewers in Vermont can begin welcoming people back into their shops. Sean Lawson is the founder of Lawson's Finest Liquids in Waitsfield, and he's being cautious with his brewery's opening. Here's Lawson on Vermont Edition with host Bob Kinzel yesterday.
Sean, I think there are probably people who are listening who are wondering, what does your business have to do going forward now to comply with health and safety concerns and make sure that everybody feels comfortable about being there?
Oh, gosh, Bob, there's a lot that we have to do. But we've trained all of our employees. They took the certification that BOSHA requires for employees for businesses that are open. And so we have daily temperature checks when staff come in to make sure nobody's got a fever. We have, you know, our own, limited personal protective gear, which is lots of hand sanitizer, washing hands regularly, using gloves for the staff that interact with the public at the drive-through or in our distribution deliveries. We've, of course, been practicing physical distancing and wearing our facial coverings or face masks since the early days of the shutdown, before all of the detailed guidance came out. So those are all, ways that we're ensuring the health and safety of both the employees and the guests. And we've had to pivot our business model to, we never had online ordering or phone ordering before. And so that's something that we've adapted to and we're using now, and we'll likely continue to do the drive-through model for a while, as long as that's permitted, because it's people have received it really well, and it helps, I think, keep our staff feel safe doing it. And people drive up, and they always have a smile on their face when they pull in.
And now a look at the Eye on the Sky forecast. It's going to be a nice one today, mostly sunny, highs in the 60s and 70s. Thanks for listening to The Frequency, and we want to hear from you. If you have any feedback on the show or just want to tell us how you're doing, email us at thefrequency@vpr.org. You can also find us on Twitter. I'm at Anna S. Van Dyne.
And I'm at The Henry Epp. We had reporting today from John Dillon, Amy Kolb-Noyes, and Liam Elder Connors. Matthew Smith produced the Vermont Edition segment. And our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. Our executive producer is Mark Davis. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. Talk to you tomorrow. In this economy.
In this economy.